set for all the action. This is the Land Rover Pregame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It is the Land Rover Pregame Show. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda here with you on Sportsnet 650, getting you ready for the Vancouver Canucks and the Edmonton Oilers. It's been a tough go for the Vancouver Canucks lately as they continue to drop games and sit at the bottom of the standings. And now Brandon Sutter is out with an injury. Tyler Graevac looks to draw into the lineup. Sat, this is not going to be an easy task to calm down Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl tonight.
It is not going to be a lot of fun, and it's not going to be easy. Now, Connor McDavid may make it look a lot of fun for people watching the game tonight, but trying to slow him down, well, what do you do? Honestly, and especially when you look at how this Canucks team is built, is it essentially a hope and a prayer that Connor McDavid just doesn't have the juice to go ham tonight?
I don't know. Okay, another we got a juice counter going on here on the People Show and the pregame show. But
got one.
Did you watch him? Did you watch him against Chris Tanev? Poor Chris Tanev, man. Like, couldn't do anything on that goal on the weekend, and you can't really blame him. I think Connor has plenty of juice left, boys.
For sure. I mean, that's the thing. I think slowing down Connor McDavid right now essentially comes down to, you got to get a bit lucky. Like, there isn't anything you can really do, especially when you don't have Elias Pettersson either. You can't really hard match a top line to top line and hope that they saw each other off a little bit. There really isn't a lot this team can do with this group to really slow down Connor McDavid tonight.
Well, like, especially, I'm just going to, like, wax poetic about McDavid because he's that damn good. But, like, that play on the power play that they set up, where McDavid just hands the puck off and then he gains speed through the neutral zone. They give it to him in full flight. Doesn't matter how many defenders you have back, it's almost like damn near impossible to stop it. And we saw it in game two of this season against the Canucks. And remember Alex Edler getting turnstiled in that moment. And it's just, you know, they continue to do that. And it's one of the greatest power play setups that we've seen in the league that isn't, you know, just a guy setting up on the left half wall and teeing up a one-timer.
Yeah, what's scary about Connor McDavid, though, as well, on that game on the weekend in the final battle of Alberta, you saw that sort of goal where he goes, you know, he takes on Chris Tanev, and he's, you know, good luck to the defenseman. But also, when you're in the zone and you're setting up, he can kind of knife through the center of your kill, right? And that's how he set up Ethan Bear. Like, Ethan Bear was all by himself and just cranked home a shot because everybody is scared of what Connor McDavid can do. And they obviously collapse to him. And that's where the playmaking, I think sometimes what we do is he's so good at scoring and playmaking that we forget how good of a passer he is. And Ethan Bear had probably the easiest goal he'll ever score in the NHL in a tough angle, but the net was wide open for him. So just good luck stopping him 5-on-5 or on the power play especially.
One of the advantages maybe, and one thing that's kind of happened recently, not a lot of penalties have been getting called. So if the refs kind of swallow their whistles tonight and don't give the Edmonton Oilers a lot of power plays, maybe that's your best chance of him not completely going off.
Let's bring in our next guest, former Vancouver Canuck. His cardboard cutout will be in the stands tonight. It is Ryan Kessler. What's going on, Kess?
How's it going, guys?
Pretty good. Did you know your cardboard cutout's going to be watching the game in the stands tonight at Rogers Arena?
I did not. That's pretty cool. Yeah, you got to send me a picture.
You're going to have a good view of Connor McDavid lighting up the Canucks tonight, I think.
He's probably going to see me and go into a shell.
No, are you going to be as excited about your cardboard cutout when I tell you that it's right next to Kevin Bieksa?
Of course it is.
They had to go and ruin it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we're talking about, we were just right before we got to you, Ryan, we were talking about Connor McDavid and hitting 100 points. He's got basically 7 games to get 13 points. You think he's going to do it?
You know, I think it's going to motivate him. You know, I think he obviously has the skill to put up that kind of numbers, and Do I think he's going to do it? Yeah, I do think he's going to do it.
Ryan Kesler, our guest here on the Land Rover pregame show, Canucks and Oilers coming up. You know, we did talk a lot last week about, you know, stopping McDavid and just how good he has been. You know, we look at him as this like unicorn of offense. If you were to compare him to Sidney Crosby, how, like the differences of defending McDavid versus defending against Sidney Crosby, how do you see it?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of similarities between the two. Both great vision, both Crosby's, obviously McDavid's faster, but Crosby has that sneaky explosiveness to him where it doesn't look like he's going and then he's gone. It's that power behind his stride. You know, both really good shots. Yeah, they're just very similar. They both think the game the same way. Both really, like when I used to get in both their kitchens, they wouldn't show me if I did bother them. So mentally strong, mentally their competes the same. They both want to, so they're basically the same player, just in different bodies.
Which player that did you have the hardest time going up against in a shutdown role that maybe we wouldn't expect? Because we always expect the Connor McDavids, and I know you talk about Taves too and Sidney Crosby being really difficult to play against and shutting down, but was there somebody that you went up against that maybe doesn't get the notoriety but was always a tough challenge?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple guys. You know, face-off-wise, someone that you wouldn't like probably think of would be like a Mikko Koivu. He was super strong in the draws, but someone to defend, whew, that's a tough one. You know, like a Datsyuk I can't even think right now. Datsyuk would come to mind. Joe Thornton's really hard. You know, the guys that can make you look stupid, right? And that, nothing really comes to mind. Thornton's just so dangerous, or used to be. I mean, I think he still is, that big body. And when he was in his prime, he really had, I had a tough time defending him, because you need to look sorry, my son's trying to get in the car right now. Really a tough time, because you got to worry about everybody else on the ice. And if you don't, he's going to make you pay. He's going to dish it to someone for a backdoor tapping.
You're listening to The People Show. We're joined by Ryan Kesler. Kes, you mentioned, you know, getting in battles with McDavid and, you know, Crosby, but they wouldn't necessarily waver maybe. Were there certain matchups where you're like, I know this guy, I can shake him, I can kind of get in his grill, I know he doesn't like playing against me? Were there specific players that you knew whenever you went into that game that you were living rent-free in their mind before the puck was even dropped?
Yeah, I think, you know, Ryan Johansson comes to mind.
David Backes?
Case comes to mind. Yeah, maybe that one too. Yeah, there's just guys in the league that you know you have something on them, and it's going to rattle them.
Ryan Kesler.
Pascal Dupuis comes to mind too. Yeah, there's a couple guys that I had some fun with.
Ryan Kesler, our guest. You know, Anaheim LA battles were always good. Canucks fans are still kind of lamenting the loss of Tyler Toffoli from last offseason. He just scored again. He's got 28 goals on the season. Now, Toffoli's an interesting player because nothing really stands out about his game necessarily in the way that it would for other strong goal scorers around the league. But he's just really smart. He's got a way of finding soft areas against the defense.
Yeah, that's the thing is you said Toffoli has 28 goals now. That's just, you know, it's tough to lose that from your lineup. And you know, when he did get traded to Van last year, he fit in well. And when you fit in that good that quickly, you know, they lost a big piece of their offense there.
Ryan Kessler is our guest here on the People's Show on Sportsnet 650. And now we mentioned Kevin Bieksa. We're joking about him, but he was on with our morning show, Halford and Brough, today. And he was kind of asked about the Canucks right now and what they're going through and, you know, what it's like when you see a team that you were part of that had a lot of success in the past. I mean, you were here, like Kevin mentioned, during the glory years of this team. What is it like when you view this organization now from the outside, knowing what it was like during the glory years and then kind of seeing what they're going through now? Like, what's your takeaway seeing the change too and the ups and downs organizations can go through?
Yeah, it's tough. Obviously, it's kind of a roller coaster from year to year. You don't know what you're going to get. And they got some young talent that, you know, either they're going to figure it out and become corner pieces of this franchise, or they're going to be, you know, the bottom half of the league for a long time, because, you know, I think a couple of them are in for a big payday here pretty soon. So they got to make some decisions. I just know when it was the Gillis era and, you know, our era where we had that team. I don't know the way they are now, but we were given anything we wanted, and they would do anything. Recovery, sleep, all that stuff. I don't know if they're continuing to do that, but that's was the 2% that I believe pushed us, right? And yeah, we had a really good team, and I think we had like over 50 wins 1 year. But the way I view this team now is they have a few tweeners, and they have some really good players, some really good role players, but their young talent needs to step up. Obviously, losing Pettersson for as long as you lost him, that's going to hurt, right? And, you know, they got to figure it out. With the way Demko and Holtby played early on the year, it hurt bad, and then they picked it up of late or, you know, maybe a few weeks ago. But, you know, it's tough to see. It's comparing apples to oranges, to be honest, because the way the game was played back then was different. We had some pretty good sandpaper in our lineup, as well as skill and a good power play and you just like a good PK. And they seem to have the talent. They just can't put it together. And I don't know what happened this year. Maybe it was injuries, but injuries happen to everyone throughout the year, and you got to learn how to battle through that.
Organizationally, the team and the organization has had a reputation hit basically in the last year. You know, ever since the Jacob Markstrom, Chris Tanev, Tyler Toffoli free agency, you know, there was talks about, hey, communication maybe wasn't the greatest. There's noise out there. Long story short, when, you know, you're a player in your free agency or you're looking at another team, how much of that noise kind of discourages you? Or does that make a difference, or is that us media guys just making a mountain out of a molehill?
You know, it's tough. For us as players, you know, we want to be respected by our organization. We want to feel wanted. And when you don't get that love after, you know, everything, you look at Chris Tanev, everything he's done for the organization, I mean, the guy might have over 1,000 block shots in his career for Vancouver, and the injuries he's played through, and you know, even a guy like Toffoli that comes over and you know, puts up the numbers he did and helps that playoff run. And then I don't know what happened there. I can't really comment, but it might be a situation where he's not shown his love and he goes somewhere else. So really, for me, if I was a GM, it's all about player relationship and being able to, you know, sign the guys you want because you have a good relationship with them and there's good communication. So if that's a communication breakdown, then that's obviously something that needs to change if you want to continue or start to have a competitive team and have players want to stay in that organization.
We know, you know, traditionally it has been hard to, and this goes for all Canadian markets, to attract free agents. But, you know, when it's good, things are good. Everybody loves you in town. And when it's bad, you're really under the microscope. I mean, does that matter as a free agent when you're kind of looking at those types of situations and just, you know, wondering, you know, how it could get difficult if things don't go the right way?
Yeah, you look at free agency. One's location, where guys want to play. Two is the way veteran players or star players are treated in the market and organizationally, because we all know guys talk to each other. The NHL, as players, are a lot closer to each other and know each other a lot better than what I think when I played. And the third thing is if they have a chance to win, if you got a winning team, and that's the trend of NHL free agency. You're either going to get overpaid, or you're going to overpay for someone, or they're from there, or they live there, or they have relatives that live there, or they just want to live in that city. And I think the biggest thing is if you got a winning franchise, because at the end of the day, it's not fun playing for a losing team. And you know, I've luckily only did that a couple times in my career, and it becomes a long season. And guys want to win, and guys want to be competitive, and if they can't get on a winning team, then you know they're gonna choose B or C as an option, and you know, the way Vancouver's trending, they might be a B and C option, so they might miss out on those big guns.
Now, Ryan, one of the interesting things about this season, one of the things it reminds me of a little bit is back in 07, 08, you guys were coming off making the playoffs the year before. A bit of a surprise season to some degree, right? And I know you had the finger injury that year, but you guys beat the Dallas Stars in the first round. You go and play Anaheim in the second round. You guys had over 100 points, played well in the division, and kind of exceeded expectations, kind of like the Canucks did this past year. Then the following season, now unlike this year, this season's been a complete disaster for the Canucks in so many different ways, too, and unforeseen things like the COVID outbreak and all that sort of stuff. But that 07, 08 year, you guys were a playoff team essentially, then lost 7 out of 8 late in the season. Guys were injured. A lot of things happened. You guys couldn't find a way to win. And then a bunch of changes happened with the team. A new GM came in, a new vision came in, and a few tweaks were made, and then the team took off again. Do you see some similarities in terms of where this team is at now with the core group that just needs a few things to be made really right over the next couple of years to take that next step? Like, do you see some similarities here?
I do. I think, like I said before, they have the pieces, and you're not going to pick up a Bo Horvat or you know, a JT Miller or a Pettersson in free agency. That's very unlikely. Or a Quinn Hughes. You just need those guys to continue to kind of ramp up their production and just take more of a leadership role and understand it's their team and they're going to go as far as they want to, and it's all about the culture that they bring into that team. And saying that, if they do make a couple changes where they do bring in a you know, second line help or sign a top four D-man, then it's all about how the group mixes together and all about the coaching and the systems. And then really it's culturally how the GM has communication with the team and the relationships. And then it's just, to be honest, it's getting together soon in training camp and being able to mesh well. And once that starts happening, then you need some wins. Because if you start off and you don't get the wins right away, then everybody's questioning again, right? So, and you just said it. I went through it as a player where we lost 7 of 8. And once you start losing, especially in a Canadian city, it snowballs. And you start squeezing your stick, and I know it's cliche, but it's true. you start saying, oh, here we go again. And, you know, it takes a big culture in the room and some big character to pull a team out of that. And hopefully, you know, they'll have a good off season and come back and make some moves and come back and be a playoff contender again.
You're listening to Sportsnet 650. We're joined by Ryan Kessler. Ryan, before we let you go, we started to see in the last week or so, especially load management, rest days have become a thing in the NHL. Obviously, a condensed schedule. So some teams like Toronto last week decided to give a few of their guys a rest. What do you think of the load management coming to the NHL? And would Ryan Kessler take a rest day back in the day to kind of rest here if you were still in the league?
I think there's only one time where I was offered a rest day and I actually took it. And I think it was the day before. It was a makeup day. We were in Colorado, and we had to fly to Washington for a makeup day because they had a huge snowstorm and they canceled the game. And they gave a couple of us, they just flew a couple of us home. I think it was me, John Gibson, and maybe Getzloff, and they gave us a day off, and we took it because that's obviously a long flight, and that was the last game of the season. So I can't say I wouldn't take it. Would I fight it a bit? Yeah, especially if I'm healthy and I don't have anything going on, which probably was very rare in my career. But I would. It's tough to say. It really is. Obviously, it's nice to rest, but you hate not being out there for your team, and it would be a tough pill to swallow for me. But I think that's the way the league has to go now, especially this year. The guys are playing, you know, four and five and five and seven, and it's tough sledding right now, and I can't imagine what the guys are going through to be able to play that amount of games, and that especially like this late in the season where, you know, every point matters, and they got to do this and that, and you know, that's tough sledding for some guys, especially the older guys. It gets hard after you're 30. Your Trevor Linden once told me that you know, you're really not sore until you hit 30, and then you realize what sore is, and he wasn't lying. You definitely get more sore after you're 30.
Kes, we appreciate the time, man, as always. We'll talk next week.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There is Ryan Kesler leaving us with a good little nugget there at the end of his hit, and he joins us weekly on Mondays here on The People's Show. And, you know, a lot of takeaways there, but, you know, it is tough being in a Canadian market. And you hear what he said about, you know, location being at the top of players' minds when they're looking for new contracts, things like that as free agents. When you're in a Canadian city losing, you start to grip your stick a little bit more. You know, the noise does impact things, and you know, it definitely feels like it's played a factor. You know, this year, you know, you have Tyler Toffoli with his 28th goal now. I mean, it's just everything that's happened around the Canucks this year seems to have gone in a direction that you would not have liked it to go.
It really has been. Everything that can go wrong has gone wrong type of season for this Canucks team. It really seems that way, right? And, you know, some of it is bad luck. Like I do think, yeah, obviously this team wasn't as good as I thought they would be heading into the season. I think a lot of us are kind of on the same boat on that. A lot of things that have to change. But there's no way they're as bad as the season has been. There's no way they should be as bad as the way this season has unfolded. And, you know, the question is, like you guys mentioned, does it force more wide-sweeping changes going through a sobering season like this?
Yeah, I guess the question you got to ask is the system broken in the sense that the process that you talk about, you know, within the organization internally, is that as strong as it should be? And really, it's more of a structure or foundational question more than anything of, hey, last year you had to step up, you took a leap, and you were quite, you know, good, but this past year, there's been a lot of misses when it comes to the on-ice play. There's been the noise off the ice as well. So, guys, it depends. You know, if this was a first or a second-year GM, I think taking that step forward last year and saying, okay, there's a maybe a sophomore slump or a third-year slump, you might be a little bit more, I think the noise wouldn't be as loud. But obviously with Jim Benning and his track record in Vancouver, his tenure being so long, of course there's going to be noise. Of course there's going to be questioning whether the franchise is heading in the right direction. That's what happens when you have minimal success over a 7 to 8 year period, guys.
It is the People's Show. Coming up, we want to get in on more of your fill-in-the-blanks at Sportsnet 650. Nikita Triamkin. The Nikita Triamkin saga has lasted longer than blank. But also on that note, you know, we're looking at the Aaron Rodgers situation in Green Bay, here in Vancouver. A lot of fans, we see it on the text message inbox all the time. I'm going to be a Kraken fan from now on. And we see Tyler Toffoli scoring again. Is there a last straw? What was that last straw as a fan? Let us know on the Dunbar Lumber text line. It is The People's Show and the Land Rover pregame show here on Sportsnet 650.
Getting you set for all the action. This is the Land Rover Pregame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It is the Land Rover Pregame Show. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. Torgi coming in. There's never a last straw. Canucks for life, 38 years strong. Block any Kraken jumpers. So I guess Torgi doesn't like me then. Anyways.
Wait, you're a Kraken fan?
No. Just
no, his ditching of the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. Remember that?
Oh, right. But, I mean, Torgi's not a Dolphins fan, so he's not going to take offense to that.
To that.
He might.
Well, maybe he might.
You're loyal. I think he's speaking to loyalty here, but yeah. Hey, shouts to Torgi. Good for you.
It is the Land Rover pregame show. Canucks and Oilers are coming up. And a lot going on ahead of this game, as there always is. We want to get back in on our fill in the blank as it pertains to today's show topic. But yes, the Triamkin saga now over. The Triamkin saga lasted longer than blank. We'll get to a few of your great responses coming up later on in this segment. Now, four straight games against the Edmonton Oilers, and you know, you heard Kessler talk about it. He thinks Connor McDavid's going to get to 100 points, and really, I don't know what's stopping him at this point other than maybe load management. But for the Canucks, no Brandon Sutter. No, that hurts the bottom six even more. Now, who do we look at as – it's going to be Graevac coming into the lineup, but who steps up in this situation?
Well, it's essentially, you know, somebody like a Graevac, for instance, right? Like, he comes in and plays down the middle, and that's all the help you get down the middle, is that you have Tyler Graevac and Travis Boyd being your centerman. But in this situation, I'm looking at Travis Boyd a little bit, guys. Okay, so with no – Brandon Sutter, and I've liked some of the things I've seen from Travis Boyd. It's been a bit up and down, of course, and he went through the COVID situation with his team as well, too, right? So it's hard to really evaluate him, but if he has a little bit of energy, playing a bigger role tonight, can he show what he's capable of beyond just being a depth centerman?
Definitely the opportunity is there. It's just the opposition's not an easy one as well, right? You're going to have JT Miller and Bo Horvat playing really tough minutes in that top six. Most likely against the McDavid and Draisaitl combination, depending on how Edmonton wants to use their lines. You know, you've seen Draisaitl and McDavid play on the same line a fair bit as well. But you have an opportunity where Ryan Nugent-Hopkins playing with Cahoon is still a tough matchup. You know, Nugent-Hopkins is a damn good player. Now, what can you do against that bottom six is the question. Can you pick up a goal or two down there? And Edmonton's, you know, they've got an improved bottom six than previous years, but it's still far from being a really good one. So can you win, you know, some of those battles? Because that's going to be the difference here. If the Canucks want to win this, they're going to have to win it on the power play and get an occasional goal from the bottom six, because it's going to be tough to win that top six battle against McDavid and Draisaitl. If you, you know, outscore them on a given night, that doesn't happen very often. You're going to be extremely lucky. So yeah, Sat, to your point, you know, Boyd, VC, it would be great for them to score in this game, because the Canucks are going to need production from that bottom six.
Gary, boy, I bet the Canucks had Jason Megna and Michael Chaput for tonight's game.
I don't know. Tyler Graevac, he's fine. I like Graevac.
Yeah.
And by I like Graevac, I mean as an organizational depth guy that you call up when you've gone
You like him in the press box is what you're trying to say.
I like him in the press box. And he's a good guy. I like Tyler Graevac. Great interview, and he's got decent skills, right? He's got good hands, he works hard, he's got a good vision. His skating's just not good enough to play regularly, right? So he's one of those guys I have a lot of time for, but he is what he is.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he is what he is.
Look, reality is the Canucks are out three centermen right now, with Pettersson, Beagle, and now Sutter out of the lineup. So, yeah, it's going to hurt, and it's really going to test your depth. But this isn't as much about depth as it is, you know, they just have to improve the center position overall on this team, right? And it's being exacerbated by the current situation and the players that are out. But reality was, you know, their third line center position wasn't good enough coming into this season. And you were kind of hoping Adam Gaudette would pan out. That hasn't really worked. We know Sutter and Beagle kind of are too much alike. You'd rather have one than just both of them. And how much is center, as we look to the offseason, it's got to be the biggest priority for me.
It's a massive priority, and especially, you know, we do have clarity on the situation in the sense that heading into this year, you wanted to know what Brandon Sutter had left. And listen, you know, we've talked about how maybe signing him to a value deal on a one-year deal might make sense. But you know what Sutter is at this point in time. He's going to be your, you know, value pickup where you need a veteran presence, maybe a stopgap measure for a year. You have clarity in what Adam Gaudette is. He's not a Canuck anymore. That tells you all you need to know. So through the draft, you're going to probably have to look at this position. Maybe in the first round. I would also say the right side of defense is something that I look at as well. But best player available, I would think, you know, a long-term project, center and right side of defense are priority. Now, the question here is, Zach, can you get anybody better on that third-line center role that is better than a Brandon Sutter? And there's going to be options out there, but what can the Canucks pay? And is Vancouver a market for some of those free agents? It's not going to be a high-end, you know, individual, but I guess the short-term fix here is most likely going to be guys that are stopgap measures. That's what the Canucks have to do on one-year deals, though. Maybe on PTOs. Yeah. You're not in a position where you can offer two-year deals or more anymore.
No, I mean, as far as free agents goes, there isn't a ton out there, right? You're sort of looking at centermen, too, and you look at defensemen on the market. That's going to be pretty thin. There aren't a lot of needle movers, and, well, at least the money's not going to cost too much, at least in theory, in an offseason like this because of the depressed market and the flat cap situation. So maybe you can find a little bit of value, but what is really changing the complexion of your team? And maybe that's an answer you can't find this year. And it's okay if you, you know, don't become a cup contender next year, but just don't shoot yourself in the foot by signing a bad contract to a bottom six player. Now, I don't see there being an appetite to give term to bottom six players organizationally, especially when you look at the money that is being spent and what it's not being spent on and all the things kind of circulating around the team. I just don't see there being an appetite for it. I think realistically, guys, the best way for this team outside of perhaps Cole Lind, who's been very promising, we'll talk more about him as the pregame show goes on, his two first appearances, can he be a cheap option in your bottom six next season? Can he potentially play down the middle for you down the road? I think there is some intrigue that he's an option for you, but can you get creative via trade, right? Like, are you willing to maybe move a guy out? Can you get another player who's young on another team who's a bottom six center type? Can you find a team that's looking to alleviate their expansion conundrum? I think those are the avenues, guys, that are the best ones to try to pursue bottom six solutions for this franchise that are not going to cost too much.
We also heard from Travis Green today, kind of on this topic, but, you know, the idea of how much the Canucks miss Elias Pettersson right now. And yeah, it's a glaring hole in the roster. You lose your top centerman and it really tests what else you've got. But here's Travis Green on missing Elias Pettersson.
It's not an excuse, but I'm not also not going to sit here and say we don't miss that in our lineup. We've won before without him. We came, but we also had some other players playing. And, you know, Petey's a big part of our team. He's a big part of our future. He's trying to get back. He's working hard to get back. If he was ready to play, he would. When you talk about your top end players and what they bring to your group, there's a reason why those guys are where they're at. They're difference makers. They create chances. They alleviate pressure easily.
There is Travis Green. It really, you know, the amount of offense this team is able to generate right now, and there's a lot of things going on here, including, you know, the recovery from COVID and players not really playing at 100% the way they normally would. But the Canucks kind of were able to string together some results without Pettersson there for a while. But you always kind of knew the shoe was going to drop eventually. And it's, if anything, it's only highlighted just how much this team relies on that one player.
In a big way, right, Randeep? Like, in a big, big way. Like, you look at how this team plays. And, yeah, Dan, you're so right. Early on, you know, they found a way to win a lot of these hockey games. But it also goes back to the start these guys had, Randeep. If you got off to a better start, then missing Pettersson now late in the season, maybe you could have survived it.
Totally. And I think one of the things that really sucks on a personal level for Elias Pettersson is that it was such a bad start to the year, right? Where He was struggling, not only him, but the rest of the team as well. And then eventually, he started to figure it out. The team started to figure it out. They started putting up points. And then this happened. So on a team level, absolutely, when you're missing your best player, your most skilled offensive forward, there's going to be a problem. And we're seeing that play out now. Even though there is a momentary, oh, wow, you know, they're winning without Pettersson. When you lose skill like that, when you lose a player who can not only chip in offensively, but defensively, that's a problem. And we're starting to see that now because they don't have a game breaker. They don't have that player that can change the game within seconds. You hope to see that from Brock Besser. And I know he's a player that's kind of gone MIA here, but he's not the only one. There's a number of players on this team that are having a difficult time finding that. And authentically, I think Elias Pettersson from the forward group anyways is that one player that has that dynamic weapon where he can change it with a shot, he can change it with a defensive play, he can change it with a pass. Nobody else on this team has it to that level. And when you lose a player like that, it's always going to be difficult. And, you know, unfortunately, we've seen that for this team, and you can't really recover from that, right? Especially with a team that is kind of in a skill deficit anyways to begin with in that bottom six. When you lose a player like that, you know, you want to be fair to the team and say, hey, guys, don't give up. Travis Green's trying to say that, but even the coach, who has been very, you know, for the most part, he's always trying to put a positive spin on things and say, you know, we're still in this, we got this, these guys are professionals. Of course he's got to say, yeah, we're not the same team without our star player, because nobody else has that X factor, that dynamic play. And that's not a slight on Bo Horvat or JT Miller. It's just a endorsement of Elias Pettersson and what he is and what he can be going forward.
This text comes in. Can you please stop at Fairway and pick up a small pack of fresh ground brief and okay. That's they didn't mean to text that in. Well,
I just texted back to Mitch in Victoria. Sorry, Mitch. I would love to, but I'm in Vancouver. Otherwise, I'd pick that up in a heartbeat. I promise, man.
Three packs of extra firm or pressed tofu, two packs of enoki mushrooms. That sounds like a nice grocery bill. I like that.
That's not bad. I think there's like that.
I think there's a stir fry going on at the house in Victoria today.
We are the people show. Hey, if I was on the island, I'd try to help you out, Mitch. People helping people. That's what we do here.
We'd happily do it. I'd make a grocery run for somebody if they needed it.
100%.
Be careful. Here come the texts.
I know.
Well, I can't tonight because I'm at the rink until midnight pretty much. So going anywhere yet.
Yeah, maybe.
There's a Costco right next to the rink, though, Sad. Just wanted to let you know.
I don't... And I was like, I don't have a membership.
Another text coming in. Give me a break, guys. Pettersson wasn't doing anything anyway this season.
I mean, he's still your best forward. I mean, sure. And honestly, with the whole COVID situation, which is something like this season is just such a write-off anyways, right? So that also threw a huge curveball into everything else going on with this team. But they got off to a horrible start this season, and Pettersson was part of that, and he really struggled. And, you know, that's the real difference here. They just got off to such a bad start, and then one of their top guys got hurt, and they could not recover enough. They couldn't win enough hockey games. Because you look at the teams that are having success, well, their top-end guys, for the most part, in the Canadian division have stayed healthy, right? And, you know, the Canucks not only weren't healthy, I mean, haven't been healthy with their top guy, they also underachieved in a huge, huge way earlier this season. Like, they were playing some really bad hockey. So as much as, yeah, the way this season has gone now with all the problems that are going on, I have a lot of sympathy for the lack of energy the guys have, and I'm not overly critical of each performance from here on out to get through the season. But as far as the players themselves go, I mean, they let themselves down early this season in those first 16 games where they lost 9 of those games by 5 or more goals. That is what sunk their season. That was before all these things started happening.
It is the people's show. Keep those texts coming in. We'll keep them going through the network hour of the Land Rover pregame show. I did have a few texts coming in on what your last straw was. With the Canucks and with any of your sports teams as well from earlier in the show. But Jesse saying, last straw for me, 3 months ago when we failed to sell Sutter, Gaudette, Vertanen, Pearson, and even Miller. Jesse was really willing to sell the farm, I guess, at the trade deadline. Another one comes and didn't sign Tyler Toffoli in the offseason. One, was he not asking for that much money? And two, Benning gave up to acquire Toffoli. What Benning gave up to acquire Toffoli had been discussed with Benning since then. Before that, I thought he was doing okay. That's from Michael. And it really, you know, with every goal that Tyler Toffoli scores, it hurts even more. And he scored again tonight for the Montreal Canadiens. But all it is right now is just piling on everything else that's happened to the Canucks this season.
It's one thing after another. And, man, I can't remember, Randy, a Canucks player who left and had this much success right away. Like, I can't think of a situation where a player, and being as, you know, public a situation as it was, come back to haunt him to this way. Now, he has a few more years left on his contract, and we'll see what happens over the final three. But I can't think of a situation that was this much of a dagger after dagger situation.
Yeah, what makes this so disrespectful is not only is the player having success, but the amount of success he had against the Canucks at the outset of the year, that was just a, you let me go and I'm going to slap you in the face immediately. And he kept on doing it over and over and over again. And Tyler Toffoli, that's one that I think for a long time Canucks fans will look back and say, what could have been had you brought this guy back? What could have been had, you know, had he been in the top six instead of other players being rotated in and out? And listen, Nils Höglander is looking good, and he's going to be a good player, but having a Tyler Toffoli alongside an ELC and Nils Höglander could have been good as well. So that's going to be one that I think will sting a lot of Canucks fans. Even if it, you know, Montreal, even if they lose in the first round, I think the what could have been factor is going to really, really sting the Canucks, Jim Benning anyways, for the next little bit. And fans are going to be salty about that one for a long time, because by the time the season's done, he's likely going to get to 30, 32 goals, somewhere around there. And that stings when you all of a sudden take out a player who had success in your roster, on your team, and you put him onto another team and he scores 30 goals. You have a right to be annoyed by that as well, because he was such a good fit here, guys.
It's, you know, with Toffoli, there's an immediate text coming in. You don't remember Cam Neely? That was a trade.
Oh, free agent. Yeah, that was a trade. They traded Cam Neely. I'm talking about a free agent, guy that got away this way. You know what I mean? Like, I can't think of another situation like that.
But Toffoli's also having a career season. You know, like, is he going to perform this way for the rest of his Montreal Canadiens career? No, and that doesn't mean that they should not have signed him, but it's really unexpected how well he is playing. Relating it to the rest of his career.
Well, and the interesting thing here, too, was, like, I know people are making this about, hey, Jim chose Jake over Toffoli. Like, I do think they weren't really related. I think the Toffoli thing, like I mentioned before, came down to overall cap space in a long-term contract, and there not being a desire to do a deal like that from the top of the organization until they moved money out. And they couldn't move money out, so they couldn't do another long-term deal. So it's a chicken and the egg a little bit, right? Like, whose fault was it really? But at the same time, like, I don't think this was an organizational choice where they chose to for Tannen over Toffoli. There was more to it than that.
I think a part of it is also, we got a couple of texts rolling in here, 650, 650 on Dunbar Lumber text line. Somebody coming with Mike Peck. We're talking specifically about free agents, but you know what the problem with that is, though? Toffoli, I think he was undervalued in LA because they were a bad team, right? Reach, we talked about this at the time. How good is Tyler Toffoli was the question before the Canucks traded for him, or even as the Canucks traded for him. I think a part of his value is diminished of how bad LA was, right? You play on a bad team, guess what? Your stats don't look good and people think you're done. Clearly, a lot of folks thought he was done and he isn't. And playing on the right team in Vancouver for a little bit, and now Montreal, I don't know how long of that four-year contract he's going to be able to live out and be really well, but, you know, at least probably a couple years, he'll be a strong player, and unfortunately, Canucks fans got to watch that from a distance.
It is the Land Rover pregame show. We'll dive in more to the Canucks and Oilers, four in a row between these two starting tonight. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. We'll join up with the network. Batch and Hershey get in on it. It is the Land Rover pregame show on Sportsnet 650.